Scripture reading is taken from Galatians, Paul's letter to the church there, chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
ガラテヤ人への手紙5章22節から25節。しかし御霊の実は愛、喜び、平安、寛容、親切、善意、誠実、柔和、自制です。このようなものは禁じる律法はありません。キリストイエスにつく者は自分の肉をさまざまな情欲や欲望とともに十字架につけてしまったのです。もし私たちが御霊によって生きるのなら、御霊に導かれて進もうではありませんか。
Morning.
Morning.
How are you doing? Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord, where we could come together as a community, as a body of worshipers seeking to worship you, Lord. God, we ask that your presence would fill this place. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place and fill our hearts. We ask, Lord, that we can experience you today. And Father, that you would bring salvation, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord. Father, as we hear your word, we pray that we would hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we're speaking about... Last week I talked about walking in the Spirit, and I want to continue talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And as we just read in Galatians, it talks about let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's my goal of giving you this series, is that we could test and see if we're keeping in step with the Spirit by looking at the different characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And just a quick recap of what I spoke about last week. Walking in the Spirit requires being born again. That's the first step. In John 3:3-6, it says, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Flesh give birth to flesh, but the Spirit give birth to spirit." And walking in the Spirit is very simple. You don't have to be smart to walk in the Spirit. Praise God, because I'm not that smart. Yeah, but it's not easy because the world is against the nature of the Spirit. It wars against each other, it talks about. But it's simple, and it's simply this. To walk in the Spirit and to do the work of God, John 6:29 says, to do the work of God is this, simply to believe in the one he sent. Believe in Jesus Christ. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Simple, right? Believe in God. Confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Stay connected to Jesus, and naturally the byproduct is fruit. We all bear fruit. It doesn't matter whether you're a believer or non-believer. Regardless, you bear fruit. I'm using that metaphorically. And the fruit of the Spirit, as we just read, is characterized by love, joy, peace, patience. And today I'm going to be talking about patience, kindness, and goodness. And it's to the Father's glory that we bear much fruit. And so let's talk. Let me just give you a love must be first. It's listed first for a purpose because it's the most important aspect. Love is the most important aspect. And in this life, if you do anything well, if you do anything excellent, let it be love. Because after this life, that's what you'll be tested on. Did you love well? I was listening to this man who said he had a near-death experience. And he said, when I went to heaven, I saw a big line. And he said, in this line, as they're coming up, they asked them simply one question. Did you love well? And I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but that's a great revelation. They're going to ask you the most important thing, right? If they ask you anything, they'll ask you the most important thing. Did you do this well? It's not, did you make a lot of money? Or it's not going to be, did you have a lot of friends? Or did a lot of people like you? But it'll be simply, did you love well? And first part is, love God first. And then love people. As you love yourself. And again, you know, I heard a teaching about love and it being the greatest commandment. And the preacher said, you know, my goal and dream in life isn't to have a great big ministry. And he does have a great big ministry. He said, that's not my goal. My goal and dream is to be the greatest lover of God. And that should be yours. And that night, I went and I lay down in bed and I simply asked, I want to make that my goal, Lord. I think a lot of Christians, this preacher said, a lot of Christians, we understand love is important. And I'm taking a long time just, you know, recapping this, but I'm doing it because it's so important. He said, you know, for a lot of Christians, love is probably in the top 10 somewhere. But is it really your first priority? And that night I laid in bed and I said, God, I want to make that my goal and dream. And I felt God's presence all over that. It was just a simple request that, Lord, make that my goal, my dream. And I felt God very pleased with it. And if you haven't done that already, I encourage you, do that. Simple prayer. God, I want to make you, I want to make my goal in life to be to love you. Because that's the greatest commandment. The next aspect of this characteristic of the fruit that Christians are to bear is joy. And I believe joy is more than being happy. It's more than circumstantial. And I believe joy is born out of doing God's will. If you love God and put Him first, I believe joy will follow it. And doing the will of God will complete your joy. I believe a lot of our joy is incomplete. And if you're not walking in the will of God, your joy will not be there. But as you walk in the will of God, your joy will be completed. It's interesting. John the Baptist, you guys know John the Baptist. He had a great ministry. Before Jesus came, everyone was coming to John the Baptist. He preached and people came to him and listened to him preach. And he was baptizing all these people. And then Jesus came on the scene. And when Jesus came on the scene, it was interesting what happened. A lot of people left John the Baptist and started following Jesus, as it should be. But John the Baptist still has some disciples. And his disciples started saying, hey John, your church is shrinking. And everyone's going to Jesus' church. And John said, my joy is complete. His joy wasn't in his ministry. His joy wasn't in being successful. His joy was in doing the will of God. And that was leading people to Jesus. And he said, my joy is now complete. And I believe if we begin to do the Lord's will in our lives, whatever circumstances may look, there will be a joy there and a completeness of joy. Amen? All right. I need some encouragement, guys. Amen. Are you guys awake? I need to talk. I'm going to just talk this way. All right. The next characteristic, you guys all heard this, and okay, that's probably why. You guys heard this already. The next one is peace, the peace of God. Let me just read this verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petitioning with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I talked about how in very stressful situation, people at times go and experience what is called mind blindness or temporary autism. And it explains the reason why police officers sometimes shoot an innocent person 40 times. And it is just an extreme stressful situation. We sometimes do things we don't mean to do. We even say things we don't mean to say. I gave you an analogy about Larry Bird. Let me give you an analogy about myself now. Not that I'm as good as Larry Bird. Far from it. But I do like basketball. And any of you guys play in a competition, basketball? Okay, so you might know what I'm talking about then. I'm going to connect with one person. All right, amen. So, you know, in basketball, you practice, right? You practice shooting, you practice free throw. I'm an amazing practice player. When it's during practice, my free throws, I'm like 90%. In my three-pointers, I'm about 70%. It is practice. For some reason, during the games, my three-point shooting, it goes down to like 30% or 40%. And my free throw, it goes, when I was about 22, 21, up to about 20. Let me get my story straight. I'm not lying, I'm telling the truth. Anyways, so in my senior year of high school, I became a pretty good free throw shooter. I would shoot free throws during practice and make it. And then during the games, I would shoot and then it would miss. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, what is going on? And I didn't have any confidence. And that just happened for a while. I graduated high school, nothing worked. I became Christian in my second semester of college. I became saved. And then I'd shoot free throws during a game. And I'd still miss. I was like, what's going on? And then, one time I decided, you know what, I'm just going to pray before I shoot. And I prayed, and I shot, and it went in. I was surprised too. I was like, ooh, it worked. And then I started doing that. And then it got to the point where I was really good at shooting free throws, just as good in practice as in games. In fact, I was better in games than in practice sometimes. And there was one time, let me just brag about myself because I'm kind of, you know, because God loves me. And God is proud of me. And none of you saw this, so I got to tell you this. So there was an important game. It was a game, if we won, we would go into the playoff. If we lost, we were out of the playoffs. And it was close. It was going back and forth. We were down by 3 points. And there was like, it was like a couple seconds left. I get the ball. And I'm not the best three-point shooter on the team. But I pump faked it, and I got fouled shooting a three-point shot, and I missed the shot. But I get to shoot 3 free throws. If I make all 3 free throws, then we get to go into overtime. That's how close it was. And I prayed, and I'm like, oh, Lord. And I shot it, and I made all 3. And it was one of the most stressful times of shooting free throws, but the peace of God transcended all understanding. Let me read the scripture once again. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, even as if it's unimportant as shooting a free throw in a basketball game, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. It works. Pray. If you're in a stressful situation, before you go up and speak, before you give a presentation, before you go for an interview, when you get pulled over, and before you talk to the police officer, just pray, okay? Let the peace of God transcend your mind and guard your heart and mind, and let God bless you and be blessed in His presence. That's what we have. This is our birthright. Being Christians. This is what is available to us if we stay in step with the Spirit. These are all good things. And a lot of times I think we think, if I'm a good Christian, I'm going to miss out in life. No, if you're in Christ and stay connected with Him, there's such a blessing that is available for us that I want each and every one of us to experience all the time. Amen? There is a blessed life that is bought by the blood of Christ that we have access to, and sometimes we miss out on because we think sin is funner, more fun. Sin has, it does have gratification, but it will never satisfy. Being in Christ will satisfy you. Let us go and talk about the other characteristic of this fruit of the Spirit. The next three, I'm going to talk about the next three these couple minutes. But the next one is patience. And I talk about patience all the time. And I believe God's greatest blessings are received by those who are patient enough to wait on Him. Let's turn to a book in the Old Testament called Habakkuk. It's after Daniel. It's after Amos. Well, if you heard that, you have a supernatural hearing. It's after Nahum, and it's like right around here, Habakkuk. It's just three chapters, very short. Unlike other maybe prophetic books, it's one of the easier ones to understand. And I want to say one of the characteristics of being connected to Jesus is that we're supernaturally patient. And, you know, I don't know you too well, but I don't see impatience in you. So, but there is a supernatural patience that leads to an amazing blessing if we stay connected to Christ. Anyways, Habakkuk, I'm going to start with chapter 1, verse 2. The book starts out with a cry. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? A little disclaimer, I didn't do in-depth research and study on this book. I read it, I read a little bit about it. But it's obvious, it starts out with a cry, with a complaint, and it seems like there's violence going around Habakkuk, and evil people are running amok. And so he's saying, Lord, how long? Even I say violence, and there's nothing. Short chapter, let's go to the end of it. Chapter 3, and the last three, I'm going to read the last three verses in chapter 3. 3:17. So it starts out with a complaint, right? That's easy to see. Chapter 3:17 ends like this. Habakkuk says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And this is for the director of music on my stringed instruments. Basically, Habakkuk was singing a new song by the end of this book. He starts out with a complaint, but ends with a new song. A beautiful song. How long, O Lord? How long? Or even though, even though, even though. Look, his situation, basically what it's saying is, his situation didn't change, but he was singing a new song. Something changed, and it was that thing that changed was in the inside. And I believe the key is in here, in the middle, chapter 2, verse 1. This is, I believe, why his song went from one of complaining, mourning, moaning, to one of praise. It's here, chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answers I am to give to, and what answers I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, it will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. Basically, I'm going to give you a vision. It might take a while, but wait. Be patient, because it will come. And then verse 4, a very famous verse, New Testament writers love quoting this verse. It says, the righteous will live by faith. Verse 4 says, see, he is puffed up, his desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by faith. Patience is essential to faith, amen? You know what the proud does? Those who are prideful and proud is not patient. They won't wait. They think they know it all. They think their timing is perfect. But let me tell you, the proud will be humbled. But the righteous who live by faith waits on God, trusts in God, and knows that God's timing is perfect. Amen. Though it tarries, wait. Habakkuk was in a bad situation. He was crying out to the Lord, and then God spoke to him. This chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, real quick, five principles, spiritual principle that is available for each and every one of us. Meet with the Lord. What did he say? I will set myself down. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the rampart. He went to a place and he waited. Meet with God. He says, I will look to see what he will say to me. Look and listen. I will look to see what he says to me. It's twofold. Look and listen. Yesterday, we met with the college group, and we did a little prophetic exercise, and I'm very proud of my college group, because they came out with, they did a really, an amazing job. They prophesied over the person on their right, and they just simply told them They prayed for them, and they told them what they heard or saw God say. And I thought, they did an amazing job. Look and listen. A lot of times, God speaks to us both in pictures and in words. And if you want to go further, feelings, emotions, but He talks to us a lot of times in pictures and words. And I'm going to go on a little trail, but why does He speak to us in pictures? I don't know. I was going to say that. She read my mind. A picture is worth 1,000 words, right? There's so much more that could be communicated with a picture than there is with words. Another reason is just God is just very artistic, and He likes to give us these pictures which can be communicated in such a better way than words. But I need to just get back to what I've been talking about. Keep a journal. It says, write down, verse 2, the Lord replied, write down the revelation. If you're asking God for something and He gives it to you, write it down. It's so important. And right now I'm preaching to myself because oftentimes I don't write it down. But write it down. Why? It's easy to forget. Especially, it's easy to forget what God says in the light when it gets very dark. Because the vision sometimes tarries. It lingers. And when it does, we oftentimes say, did God really say that? Or we forget, what did God say? Supernatural patience, I believe, is required to have God's greatest blessing. And it's available if we stay in step with the Spirit. And the last and most important part is here. Wait on it. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. I think one of the reasons why it's hard to wait and be patient is, or be patient, obviously, there's obvious reasons. We live in a society that values, what's the right word? That values speed? What's that?
Is that instant gratification?
That too, instant gratification. I feel like I'm playing charades or something. Anyway, we live in a society where, waiting isn't valued as much. If you can do something fast, you want to do it fast, then that's great. And I think a lot, maybe some of us, we've been hurt by waiting. Has that ever happened to you? been stood up? I guess that's not funny. So I'll share a story and then we'll move on to the next two characteristics. But when I was in junior high, it was during the summertime. As any junior higher, I was really bored, had a lot of time on my hand, and I'm sure a lot of other kids my age did too. And so I think some other kids, they thought it would be funny if they prank called me. And this went on for several days. It sounded like two girls, but they would call me, and they would mess with me. And one time they called me and said, I have a friend that likes you. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And she was like, meet her at the arcade. And so I went, I took a shower, I got dressed up, and I went to the arcade. When I say I got dressed up, that means I dressed in my brother's clothes because he had all the good clothes. So I got a shower, dressed up, went to the arcade, and I looked around and I waited, and there was an Asian girl, but I was shy. And what am I going to say? Or are you the one that liked me? So I waited and I waited and I waited, and nothing happened. And I finally went home. This is where you're supposed to feel bad for me. Okay. Okay, yeah. That's a sad story. I'm hurt by it. I need your prayers. No, I'm over it, okay?
That's the best
I did, because I waited. I have a point. My point is this. I think a lot of us, we've waited for something and it didn't happen. And we've been disappointed, jaded. Waiting on God, you will never be disappointed. That's my point. Though it lingers, wait. Though it tarries, it will surely come to pass. All of God's promises in your life will surely come to pass if you wait on it. God is not a liar.
Amen.
God is someone we could trust and put our faith in. Amen.
Amen.
The next one is kindness. Is that my... does that mean I'm done? Kindness. It is another... I look at you and I feel like, you know, kindness for most of you isn't something you struggle with. But let me just say, the kindness of God is just amazing. Amen? Kindness is a supernatural characteristic that is born of the Spirit. And in Scripture, it talks about God's everlasting kindness. In Romans 2:4, it says, "Do you not know the riches of His kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance?" Amen. You know, kindness and goodness is kind of similar. The best way I've seen it differentiated is if we look at the opposite. Kindness, the opposite of kindness may be rudeness. A couple weeks ago, there was a story about an NYPD police officer in New York who bought boots for a homeless man who had no shoes. And I thought, that's a beautiful picture. I don't know if that guy was saved or not, but, you know, that's a beautiful picture of someone that is kind and good. And I believe we as a church, we should operate in that kind of kindness and goodness. It's just so important to be kind to others. But let me tell you where it starts. Kindness starts with being aware of God's kindness in our lives. Are you aware of His everlasting kindness? And are you kind enough to say, "Thank you, Lord," and be appreciative of God's kindness in your life? It starts with being aware of God's kindness. And let me say this. Before you start being kind to other people, which is important, be kind to yourself. Amen? How many of you, including myself, because I did, woke up and said, "Man, I look fat today"? I've been gaining weight, it's the holidays, and that's what happens, you know. My winter coat. How rude is it if I said to you, "Hey, you look fat today"? That's a rude thing to say. If you said that to my wife, I'd be really mad. You can say that to me, that's fine. I mean, because it's true, and I have thick skin. But that's not a kind thing to say, is it? We say it to ourselves all the time. I feel like we're rude to ourselves and we tolerate it. Stop being rude to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Speak kind word to yourself. This is the word of the Lord. I feel God's all over this. Speak kind words to yourself. And, you know, if you've been to a church where it says turn to your neighbor and say, you know, "Bless you," I want you to turn to yourself and say, "I am beautiful." Do that. Just say, "God made me beautiful." Go ahead and do that. All right, one of you did it. Thank you. Praise God. All right, let's move on because I'm running out of time. Goodness. If kindness, the opposite of kindness is rude, the opposite of good, I believe, is evil. And good is more of a doing aspect than just being polite or kind. I believe the goodness of God is more of a provisionary act. It, you know, My father-in-law, Mandy's father, calls me a lot. He hasn't called lately. I guess he's busy or he doesn't like me as much anymore. Oh, it's honey. Good. Thank you. He calls me and he always goes, "How are you doing?" And I say, "I'm doing good." And he's like, "Good, like Jesus." And then his joke is, whenever I say I'm doing good, he's like Jesus, who went around and doing good. And it's, yeah, that's my reaction to his joke too. Anyways, but doing good. Fruit of the Spirit. Doing good works is a fruit of the Spirit. And doing good works both supernaturally and naturally. There's a story about a woman with an issue of blood, and the King James Version says the goodness, the virtue of God, he felt the virtue leave for his body. And just to give it to you straight, that word good and the word good in the fruit of the Spirit, the Greek word is different. But I believe the translator was trying to make a statement saying the healings of God, the multiplication of food of God, that happens because God is a good God, giving us good things. Whenever God touches you, that is His goodness. And God is saying the fruit of the Spirit is this. One of the characteristics is that you reproduce that. Just as Jesus did, I want you to reproduce the goodness of God. Touching people's lives. Whether it's supernaturally or naturally. Of course, I love the supernatural aspect of it. Galatians 6, 9 through 10, and let me close with this. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And so today, if there is something that you're struggling with, whether it's physical, whether it's a back, I feel like there's someone struggling, one with arm, something, if your arm is hurting here, whether it's a bruised bone or whatever, it just feels dull, I want you to come up and we'd like to pray for you and release the goodness of God. If your back is hurting, and if your, I think this knee is my knee, if your back is hurting, I want to, please come up and we'd love to pray for you and release the goodness of God in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace over our lives. And I do pray, Father, that you would give us a passion and a desire and a longing to keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. I pray that you would give us that passion, Lord, to stay in step with the Spirit and bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Lord, be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.